The Fed will crash stocks, and in today's show, you're going to learn just how they are going to unintentionally turn the markets upside down. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today, because in 2.5 weeks, the Fed is going to do something they've never done, and that is accelerate their balance sheet taper by turning down the volume by $30 billion a month in purchases. Now, many market participants tell me, Steve, this is super bullish for stocks. And a lot of people also believe it's going to send interest rates a lot higher. But are they right? Are they wrong? Well, let's figure that out, because the Fed has two mandates that they must follow as appointed to them by Congress, and that is maximum employment and stable prices. Now, you might be laughing at the stable prices part, and we certainly all can do that, but there's a third and unspoken mandate of the Fed, and that is financial stability. So as the Fed tunes into fighting inflation, the question is, can they keep that third mandate of financial stability without blowing up the markets? Well, let's see what other people are saying about this, other experts, and then we're going to take a look at the truth and what is likely to happen. Let's pick this up from Bloomberg. We have stocks rally will likely survive the Fed's first rate hike, Crossmark says. The chief strategist Fernandez sees 2022 stocks able to rise more, and history suggests the first rate hike won't hurt equities. Well, let's take a look and see if this is true. Stocks will continue to be supported for the first quarter of 2022, even if the Federal Reserve begins to raise interest rates, according to Crossmark Global Investments' Victoria Fernandez. The chief market strategist said in a Monday interview with Bloomberg Television that historically equity markets continue to rise after the first interest rate hike and don't actually take a hit until after the Fed's second or third increase. And this is exactly what market participants are looking at right now to support their risk-taking view. Hey, it's okay to be in stocks. It's okay that valuations are high. They can go higher, and I don't have to worry until the Fed actually pulls the trigger on these rate hikes, which are largely unexpected to start in middle of next year. But let's keep going with this to find out what's really going to happen. Is we have these really low interest rates, and it's going to take us a while to get those up. So you have low rates for the equity market that will help valuations for a while, even though I think they start to come down a little bit from current levels, said Fernandez. I still think you have strong support for the equity market, at least in the first quarter, possibly the first half of next year. Then I think we start to have a little bit more concern and see sideways growth. Now, the question that you should first be asking here is, what is this deal with low interest rates and stock prices? Is it simply because at low rates, people are borrowing more money to buy stocks? Well, perhaps there's a different view that I want you to think about. So a lot of people will buy stocks for price appreciation, and they think of the dividend as sort of a little bit of a bonus. Well, as valuations rise and stock prices rise, the value of that dividend shrinks and gets smaller and smaller. Now, if you see rising interest rates, and let's say that, for example, you're invested in the S&P 500 and has an annual dividend yield of 2%, and 10-year treasury yields, let's just say they went up to 2%. From an investor standpoint, they have to look at the S&P 500 and start saying, is there enough growth here, or is this thing getting peaked out and I'm just sitting on perhaps a 2% dividend, wherein I can go over and buy that same 2% dividend in, say, a 10-year treasury yield, assuming any of these things happen, and knowing that my downside risk is much lower. And perhaps that's the real reason, you know, valuations, when they get high, start to be a problem. And what lower interest rates are just saying is, hey, you can take that risk, but when interest rates go up, then investors start to choose and make the change from their high-risk assets over to low-risk assets. But let's continue with this story, because investors largely expect the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates 3 times in 2022. And I'll take the under on that, with some market participants expecting a hike as early March following the conclusion of the U.S. Central Bank's asset purchase program. The prospect of higher interest rates tend to raise fears about what could happen to stocks, particularly those with high valuations, just as I mentioned, and expectations of growth that hinge on easy money. So you take those things away, and all of a sudden the bond market starts to look really attractive. So however, if history is any guide, the central bank's tightening plans may not cause too many jitters in the market. The S&P 500's average annual total return was 10.5% between 2004 to 2006, when the Fed hiked rates 17 consecutive times and 9.8 annually during the 2016 to 2018 rate hike cycle, according to Principal Global Investors Chief Strategist Seema Shah. In the meantime, Fernandez said she likes bank stocks as they look cheap compared to the rest of the market. They may also have upside potential in 2022 as interest rates on the long end of the yield curve are expected to rise slightly. And, you know, this is kind of where we start to get into what is the truth. But I want you to see what other experts are saying is they believe the stocks can continue going up and they were likely to go up. They believe interest rates are going to go up. And that's going to be good for bank stocks. Well, let's take the bank stocks part out of that because let's go a little further in this and then we'll start peeling back the truth of what is actually coming and how the Fed is going to crash this market. Wall Street bets S&P 500 will say goodbye to outsized stock gains in 2022. The Fed's expected interest rate increases in the year ahead could make stock investors less willing to accept lofty valuations. Again, this is exactly what I'm trying to tell you. It's the valuations tied to the yield of the stock compared to a safer yield in U.S. Treasury securities. Investors and money managers will be thinking about that. But one of the key views here is everyone's got to believe that interest rates are going higher. But will they? Well, when rates are low, investors tend to load up on risk assets such as stocks to generate returns. And when inflation accelerates and policymakers raise interest rates, the value of companies' future earnings drops and investors have more alternative for places to make money. Rock bottom interest rates in early 2020 helped propel equity valuations higher, and they have remained elevated in the months since. Many analysts and investors now believe that increasing rates are likely to keep valuations from rising further and might cause them to fall. The S&P 500 traded last week at about 21 times its projected earnings over the next 12 months, above a five-year average a little less than 19 times, according to FactSet. And so you start to get this big picture view and about what is going to happen. Well, let's first address the issue of the federal funds rate and interest rates, because there's this belief that when the Fed hikes, then interest rates have to go up. Possibly one of the most asked questions I've gotten recently, is this that true? And the answer is, well, no, it's not true at all. In fact, there was a time when interest rates went up and treasury yields would go up with them. And it's notable that the St. Louis Fed, actually one of their junior economists, did a whole paper and said, look, there was a time when the Fed had control of the yield curve. They could raise the front end, the federal funds rate, and the whole curve would react. And they said in the paper, that relationship is gone. It doesn't exist. And yet hardly anybody's ever read that paper, and they should, because what you can see here in blue as the federal funds rate goes up, you'll notice that yields in the late 90s, early 2000s didn't really go anywhere. In fact, Fed raised rates and that sent yields lower. And here you can see in the early 2000s, the Fed's raising rates and yields went up a little bit, but hardly any, and then they went down. And then we could see out about 2016, the Fed's raising rates. And yes, yields went up some, but notably, they didn't go up any more, any higher than they'd previously been. And now the belief is, well, the Fed's going to raise those rates, and that's going to send the interest yield curve higher. Not necessarily true. There's no evidence to support that. In fact, from an equity standpoint, you know, one of the reasons we see stock prices start to choke here is the federal funds rate. As they said, it can rise and the market goes up with it. In fact, we can see there's plenty of evidence to support that. But what happens is when policy gets too tight, well, the market goes the other direction and that starts to become the risk. Now, if you're worried about that from a portfolio standpoint, you don't need to. Just check out Portfolio Show when you get a chance. You'll never have to worry about that kind of risk again. But now let's keep going with the story because there's some economic risks coming forward into next year that are perhaps going to be a big problem with this story of the stocks can continue going higher no matter what the Fed does. The Omicron variant, according to Wall Street Journal, is expected to dent global economy in early 2022 as economists have lowered growth forecasts for early next year, citing disruptions from the latest COVID-19 surge. Several economists have recently cut forecasts for the U.S. following early signs that a sharp rise in cases has already disrupted parts of the economy. Airlines canceled thousands of flights over the Christmas holiday weekend and into Monday, in part due to COVID-19-driven staff shortages. Mark Zandi, chief economist for Moody's Analytics, downgraded his first quarter U.S. gross domestic product forecast to 2.2% from 5.2% as he, quote, can see the economic damage mounting going into the first quarter. Well, Mark, let's see if you're right, because I think you might be right, but maybe not for that specific reason. Let's take a look at these charts here from the Federal Reserve database that I put together, and you can see GDP in blue against manufacturers' new orders. These are durable goods new orders, and while they lead gross domestic product, what a surprise. Output starts to go down at the factories, and so does GDP growth. Makes perfect sense that as this goes down, we're going to see less growth. We don't need this to be a pandemic issue. You can see industrial production has a great relationship with GDP as it heads lower, and it is heading lower. Well, it brings GDP down with it. And what about consumers? Well, here we can see the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey in red, and it's a good leading indicator because when consumers start spending less because they're not confident about the economy, or perhaps they don't have money to keep up with inflation, well, that leads to lower growth. So I say, Mark, you're going to be right, but perhaps not exactly for the reasons you think. But what is the whole end of the story? Where are we going with this? Because is it just a simple issue as the Fed's going to tighten and we're going to have a recession and stocks are going to fall apart? Because most people still don't believe that. They believe that equity prices have reached a permanent plateau. But let's keep going with this as we get to the very end, COVID-19, where we're going to reveal what's really going to happen. Inflation makes a mess out of predictions and polarized ideological robs leaders, voters, the flexibility needed to cope with the unexpected. Yes, very much so. And here you can see, so what actually happens during a taper is you can throw out all those predictions because the Fed back in mid-2013 said they were going to start tapering. And at the end of December 2013, they started their tapering from QE3. This goes all the way back to QE3. And what happened? The market initially said pushed rates up. Does that sort of sound familiar to what's happening right now? Is people believe, the Fed's tapering, they're going to buy less bonds, interest rates have to go up. Well, they forced them up. But then look what happened. Rates went on this massive down cycle. And from a long bond perspective, you're talking returns in the mid 30% from the long bond because yields dropped that much. But what happened to stocks? Well, let's look at stocks back then. They did continue to rise. In fact, from the mid all the way to late 2013 and into 2014, they did. But then all of a sudden, they had some volatility picked up. As financial conditions tightened due to interest rates going down, notably, remember, you've heard from all these experts that low interest rates mean stock prices go up. That's what they said. And here, look, interest rates are down. Yeah, stock prices started to go up. And then all of a sudden, they got real volatile. There were multiple corrections. And over a two-year period, stocks went nowhere. So the question is that just it? Is maybe the story there isn't going to be a big market crash because perhaps the whole story is, there's going to be some low returns for the next couple of years, but no big deal. Well, that isn't the whole picture because what we're not seeing in this is the risk taking. And we see here from Hedgeopia, the Commitment of Traders report showing that speculators are short the 10-year treasury. And this, remember, I just showed you what happens to bond prices. They go up as interest rates go down, and speculators are betting on the other side of that. Not to mention, you have all of this margin debt you see here in red, and that's the financial stability story that the Fed has to deal with. How do you tighten financial conditions up and not blow up all that margin debt? And that's what everybody sees. They see that margin debt. They think that it's permanent. They don't understand that if stock prices start to come down, that margin debt starts to get unwound and there's no buyers left to support it underneath. Because do you remember where all that margin debt came from? Well, it came from fiscal stimulus being transferred, borrowed by the government, given to consumers who then put it in their investment accounts, borrowed against it, and bought stocks. Well, with all that fiscal stimulus gone, and the Fed about to make a major move in the middle of next month where it's never tapered at this speed ever before, while the bulls are thinking stocks go higher, the truth is the Fed could be making a decision that's going to crash the whole thing. And with that, we'll see you back on Friday. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investor advice. It's not to be construed as a recognition or association by a security financial instrument or to participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not affect the value of Atlas Management Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.